Acknowledgement of Country. I acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet, work, and study on, the Awabakal people. I acknowledge the land on which our listeners meet on. I pay my respect to elders past, present, and emerging. Listener discretion is advised. The topics we discuss may be disturbing or confronting to some. If at any point this podcast causes you distress, please contact Lifeline or the University's free counselling service. It should be noted that this podcast aims to inform and educate our listeners, and in no way does it support or promote the behaviours discussed. Welcome back to the UON CRIM podcast. I'm your new host, Isabella Crevett. I would like to thank Tamika Hillebrand for the excellent job that she did in 2020. This podcast would not be possible without her. I would also like to thank our sponsors at Espresso Warriors Katara. Remember to eat, drink, and be social at Espresso Warriors Katara. In season two of the podcast, I will be investigating criminal and antisocial personalities. I'll be joined by experts in the field to give you the best insight into the criminal mind. In today's episode, we're exploring psychopaths and sociopaths, and I'm joined by Dr. Xanthi Mallett. Xanthi, how are you? Thank
I'm
you for
very
joining me.
good. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Shall we get started?
Let's do it.
So, how do you define the term psychopath?
A psychopath is somebody with an antisocial personality disorder, which expresses itself with certain traits, lack of empathy, lack of remorse, and other antisocial behaviors that some people would find disturbing at times, and I'm sure we're going to get to those. So yeah, there's a set of traits, and people are somewhere on that continuum with a number of those, and at that point they can be diagnosed by a psychiatrist or psychologist to have psychopathy.
Yep. And what are the typical traits of a psychopath?
Well, if we're going to look at males, because males and females differ, and I think we'll get to that, won't we? The typical traits of a male psychopath are the big one: they lack empathy. They lack empathy, they lack remorse, they lack the ability to form long, properly bonded relationships. So they don't feel love in the same way that other people would recognize it. They often have multiple children by multiple mothers, without really taking care of them because they haven't formed those bonds. They can be very callous, very manipulative, but also very charming. So as an individual, they can be quite dangerous.
So the epigenetics of a psychopath, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is a debated area whether epigenetics actually affects the development of psychopathy. Some people think that there is an influence and environment can affect genetics and actually increase the likelihood of psychopathy developing in an individual, whereas others would argue that it's less to do with environment. It purely is about those genetic coded markers. So yeah, as with many things in psychiatry and psychology, that's one of those things that's kind of up there for debate.
Yeah, for sure. And would you mind just explaining what epigenetics are?
Epigenetics are where your environment actually influences the development of the genetics. So your family environment, their family environment, potentially going back a number of generations, and these can actually impact not only psychopathy, but all sorts of personality traits.
Yeah, definitely. So, an individual that possesses these traits, they're likely to be diagnosed with an antisocial personality disorder.
Yes.
But you can't be diagnosed with that until you're 18, is that right?
Correct.
So, with children that have these traits, what are they diagnosed with?
So, if a child were expressing antisocial personality traits and they potentially are psychopaths, they would actually be diagnosed with conduct disorder. And so, I guess a psychologist would not want to label a child. It really can be very damaging to label a child with antisocial personality disorder. But equally, we have to recognize some of these negative traits. And when a child is expressing behavioral traits that are apparently antisocial and there's a pattern of behavior, so these could be where they're taking advantage of other children, bullying other children, things that would be outside of the norm for child behavior. So they will be monitored and potentially diagnosed with conduct disorder. They're behaving abnormally in a social situation on a repeated basis, but without the label of psychopathy or an antisocial personality disorder being attributed to them until their personality is fully developed as an adult.
Yeah, I see. And so those specific traits, are they callous, unemotional traits?
Yes, the same ones we may see in a psychopath. So these are children who would stand out outside of the norm of things that they would be willing to do to their peers that other children would not do. So yeah, they'll be monitored as a result to see whether they develop the full psychopathic tendencies.
So once someone's been diagnosed with conduct disorder, can they be cured of psychopathy?
Well, I mean, again, if psychopathy is a generic, it's inherited. We believe there's a strong generic inheritability with that. And it's the way the brain is actually formed. So the brains of a psychopath, they've actually done studies where they've stimulated them showing images to psychopaths and non-psychopaths. Now, these would be images, some of which would be disturbing to the average person. And they actually see which parts of the brain are triggered. And in psychopaths, they just don't have the emotional response. So it's a bit like saying, can we rewire your brain? No, your brain anatomy, the way it functions, the way all of the synapses fire is set. So we don't believe that people can be cured in that sense because
Right.
there's nothing actually wrong with them per se. The brain is fully functioning. It's just functioning in a different way to yours and mine. And you're not a
Thank
psychopath,
you.
trust me.
So when you say that there's not anything wrong with them, what makes some psychopaths violent and have the criminal tendencies?
Well, they don't have the same restrictions on their personality traits as we did. So, they will do things to other people that a non-psychopath wouldn't do because they feel restricted in, we don't want to cause harm. We don't want to see people in pain. Now, a psychopath doesn't necessarily want to see somebody in pain. That's more of a sadistic quality, but they just don't care if they are in pain because they feel no empathy or sympathy with that person. So there's nothing strictly wrong because it's not the result of any kind of trauma or damage or maltreatment. It's just they just don't feel emotions in the same way that other people do.
Right, I see. And what about su successful psychopaths? Where are we likely to encounter them?
So successful psychopaths are politicians, well, in essence, anywhere where there's a formed hierarchy, because psychopaths also want power, they want control. It's all about self-interest, and so they'll be in positions where they're going to satisfy those needs. So yeah, politicians, it could be policing, it's very hierarchical, surgeons, pilots, anywhere where there's gravitas and where it's very hierarchical. Academia is another one.
Definitely. So kind of like ha possessing a god complex.
Yeah, I mean that goes with it, and in some ways that's a positive, right?
Yeah.
I mean the example I use is if you go in and you're having a surgery, your surgeon walks in and they're really meek and they're mild and they're going, oh, I don't know whether I can really help you. I would be thinking, can you go find somebody who does know they can do this? If you have a surgeon who walks in and goes, I can fix the world, you go, okay, I trust you.
Yeah,
So you
exactly.
need someone with that self-belief because in some ways, same with the pilot, they have to honestly believe they can land that plane regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
So successful psychopaths can be useful.
So psychopaths are typically male, and their values align with agentic traits. Is that true?
Well, kind of. So well, the vast majority of studies that have been done on psychopathy have been on males because they tend to have some of those more violent tendencies because they don't have those restrictions. So they're going to be more risk takers than other people. And again, that can be a positive. We need the risk takers to push the boundaries. But we do know that there are female psychopaths, but they present differently. And I think what's happened in the past is because the tendencies and expressions are different, females are kind of sneaking under the radar because they're just not quite reflecting the same personality traits. So there are female psychopaths, but they just express themselves slightly differently to the men.
And what are the traits of a female psychopath?
Well, she has some of the similar ones. So lack of empathy, lack of remorse, doesn't form strong bonds, but she's also going to be cunning and manipulative and callous and all of those things that are similar. But she's also likely to not be violent, so she's likely to be more emotionally violent than male. So I mean, guaranteed you know some of these as well. They'll be the ones who break down relationships. They may be parasitic. And so by that I mean they'll live off other people and feel no need to take care of themselves because, they've earned it, right? Everyone should take care of them. Why should they do anything? Because it's all about self-interest. Males are normally more charming and good-looking, not necessarily so with the females. But females will manipulate other people to do things for them. So the most extreme cases would be the Black Widows, who basically manipulate other men using sex normally to kill their partners, etc.
With psychopaths, they're more intelligent as opposed to a sociopath. Is that true?
Well, it seems to be that psychopaths tend to have a slightly higher than average IQ. But there are certainly differences in expression between a psychopath and a sociopath. And the easiest way to explain it is a psychopath, their brain is formed that way. It's genetics, it's, you know, the anatomy of the brain itself. Whereas a sociopath probably has those traits that could be expressed, but depending on their childhood, if they have a stable, loving home, they will be reduced. And if they have a home where they're maltreated or there's a trauma, those traits can be exacerbated. So a psychopath is born and a sociopath is made by the environment in which they grow up.
And so what kind of crimes do psychopaths typically commit?
Well, they'll commit the crimes that are more premeditated. They plan things. And because they're higher IQ, they're less likely to leave evidence behind. They're less likely to be caught. So they may, in fact, manipulate other people to commit their crimes. White collar crimes, for example, they may be, you know, individuals in places where they can commit crimes, and they'll keep hands off, but they'll make sure that other people are going to take the fall because it's all planned meticulously. A sociopath is much more reactive. It's much more in the moment, so less premeditation. And so they're more likely to be caught because it's not planned, you know, and they're not committing those high stakes crimes because they're so much more reactive as a personality.
And can you provide any examples of criminals or pop culture figures that are psychopaths?
Oh, so Ivan Milat is like the poster child, isn't he? Any serial killer is likely to be a psychopath because it's all about power, dominance and control mixed in with the violent tendencies. Normally they're sadists as well because they enjoy torturing other people. So any of the Ted Bundys, you know, Bradley Edwards, you know, the guy in WA who's just been found guilty of two murders, but we do believe he's responsible for at least one other, although Sarah Spear's body hasn't been found. But yeah, so typical psychopaths, you know, they hide in plain sight. They have two faces. One, they choose to express those dark personality traits, but they can keep them hidden.
Okay. And when in your podcast with Gary Jubelin, you were talking about the trigger with a psychopath.
Yeah.
With Ivan, would you say that was his sister?
Oh, it could have been his sister because he was apparently really fond of her. I also would like to talk to him about his victim. Sometimes that can be the trigger. But you'd need to spend quite a lot of time with him in an interview situation to find what it was. But yeah, I mean, he had some very unusual relationships with family members, especially female family members. And it could be the sister that died in a car accident when he was young. That might have been his trigger. But I don't personally believe he ever would have shared any of his secrets because that was his last vestige of control, to hold on to those and take them to the grave, which he did.
Yeah. Now, Xanthi, what's your go-to hot drink order?
Oh, my go-to hot drink. Well, I don't drink coffee. Coffee is, I know that's an unusual, most people like it, but not me. Hot chocolate, if I have a hot drink. Yeah, love a good hot chocolate.
I highly recommend our sponsor at Espresso Warriors Katara, your one-stop cafe shop. Now, let's move into sociopaths, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
What experiences lead an individual to sociopathy?
These will be developmental, so situational factors when they're a child, when their personality is developing. So we especially see this where children have had unstable upbringings, maltreatment, abuse, either physical, emotional. So these are individuals I mentioned earlier that have the propensity for these antisocial personality traits, and because of that upbringing, it actually increases those. We don't really know how many sociopaths there are that have had stable upbringings because they've been minimized. But when you find a sociopathic personality, they generally have those unstable backgrounds.
And what are the traits of a sociopath?
So they are reactive, they can be explosive, very emotional. They tend to be more outwardly violent, although psychopaths can certainly be violent, but the majority aren't. And I don't want everyone to go, oh, you know, probably about 3% of people are psychopaths, we should all be scared. You know, 100 people, you know, three. It's not the case, they're all violent. But because a sociopath is reactive, they're more likely to react in an uncontrolled emotional way, and that can lead to violence.
Yeah. So they're more impulsive than a psychopath. What kind of crimes do they commit?
Oh, so they would be more the kind of domestic crimes, the violent crimes. If they're going to murder somebody, they won't plan and take a weapon. You know, it's much more situational with a sociopath.
So we discussed the successful psychopath. Is there an equivalent for the sociopath?
That's a great question. It's never something I'd really thought of, actually. I don't think so, because a sociopath doesn't tend to be as successful because they are too reactive and too emotional and too unstable. So they don't get away with crimes. And also, they're not as successful in everyday life because of those traits as well. So you don't, God, you wouldn't want a surgeon or a pilot as a sociopath, would you? Because, you know, that's not going to be great. But some psychopaths can be good at these things.
And what are the major differences between a psychopath and a sociopath?
Main differences are the sociopathic traits can be minimized. They can actually form bonds to some extent. So a psychopath will never have a genuinely loving relationship. They are great manipulators, they're great mimickers, and they study human behavior. And they are, if they're successful, they're very good at mimicking what a natural response should be. So they may, people may feel they're in love, you know, the psychopath's in love with them. They're not feeling it. Now, a sociopath can genuinely feel bonds for a limited number of people, but not to the same extent as other people.
And can an individual be a psychopath and a sociopath?
That's another great question. I don't believe so. I think a psychopath has the full-blown traits. If they also have a negative upbringing, perhaps that does exacerbate it to some level. That's never something that I've always just looked at the dichotomy between the two personalities rather than whether they could exist within one. I have to go and look that up. I don't know.
And is there anything else that you'd like to add to today's podcast?
I think it's just fascinating what we're learning, especially about female psychopaths, and how damaging they can be. And you probably know one. These are the women who break down other people's relationships. They cause trouble for no reason. You know, they're very self-centered and self-motivated. And if you think about it, you probably know a few of these people, but there is a continuum. So some people will have a few of these traits, quite low level, right the way up to, you know, the extreme, all of the traits. And I'd like to see more work done around women so we understand more about how damaging female personalities can be, because we do know they're out there, and I'd love to understand more about them.
Yeah, for sure. And is there any way that our listeners can get involved with that?
Oh, well, I mean, there's a research project in that, isn't there? Trying to identify. I mean, we have looked at female psychopaths in prison, and we do know that they tend to commit more violent crimes, and so very manipulative, and those black widow personalities. There's definitely a research project in there, isn't
Yeah,
there?
for
So,
sure. It's
yeah.
very interesting. Thank you so much for joining me today, Xanthi. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
You have been listening to the UON Crim podcast, hosted by Isabella Krebet, featuring this week's guest, Dr. Xanthi Mallett. Special thank you to our sponsors at Espresso Warriors Guitara, to Corey DiPasquale for composing the podcast music, and to Tamika Hillebrand and Grace Tynan for their administrative assistance and support. I'm your host, Isabella Krebet, and I'll be back with another episode on the 29th of March. Remember to like the University of Newcastle Criminology and Criminal Justice Society on Facebook and Instagram to keep updated. I'll see you next time.